Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up, the Hall of Presidents will officially feature a speaking role for President Donald Trump. Walt Disney's original Disneyland presentation map sells for $708,000 in auction, and Steve Porter comes to us live from the parks to give us a construction update. From the Bob Varley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode number 945 for the week of June 27th, 2017. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel. Let the experts at Dreams Unlimited Travel help you plan the perfect Disney, Universal, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney vacation. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. My name is John Magi, and I will be your host. Pete Werner is visiting some family in New Jersey this week, so that's why I am here instead of him. And I am joined at the table by some random people I know for various reasons. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Kathy Werling.
Hi, everybody.
Teresa Eccles. I forgot her name.
Oh, my God. Hey.
And back in our production facility, we have our producer, Craig Williams.
Hello.
Hi, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Good.
You all excited?
Good, yeah.
You really don't want to know.
You all excited
for
the show today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Really
oh, yeah.
Excited.
Wow.
Got weird. What's happened?
So good at pretending, all of you. We're really good at ad lib.
I'm jazzed up for the show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
There you go. Well, that's gay pride for you.
All of a sudden, I'm sitting next to Paul Lynde.
A little too proud.
Center square.
We're going to start with some housekeeping. We're going to talk about the other podcasts that we have on the various channels that we do. I'll start with Monday's Dreams Unlimited Travel podcast. Myself, Kevin Close, Tracy Heinrichs, and sometimes other people join us for discussions about Dreams Unlimited Travel and traveling in general. This past week, we did our second episode for our Alani shows. We interviewed the person who was the head of the kids club at Alani, Auntie's Beach House, as well as the person who's in charge of the spa. So we hope you go back and watch that if you haven't done so already. And actually, next week, there will be no Dreams Unlimited Travel show. I know, shocking. Absolutely shocking.
What will I do with my time?
I don't know. Get some work done, maybe. we are going to be taking the day off because of the 4th of July holiday.
Oh.
So that's that. Let's talk about some other shows. Ryan, tell us about DizPop.
I think this week we're going to be talking about the Despicable Me movie that's coming out this week and talking about the franchise and Universal and all that fun stuff.
And when is that happening?
That you can buy Despicable Me luggage.
You can buy Despicable Me luggage?
It's just a little yellow luggage with the luggage tag is an eye. I think it's really cute.
Like a little minion.
And when is that show going to happen?
Friday. Some point on Friday. Not, you know, maybe in the morning, maybe in the afternoon. Who knows?
That's like the dream show. Who knows? Craig rolls out of bed and decides to put it up. That's when it happens.
It's more exciting when it just surprises people throughout the day.
Sure. let's move on to our Thursday show, the Universal Edition, with Craig Williams and people who I'm not really sure about. What's happening this week, Craig?
Well, it's Craig Williams with Rhino, because we're the only two sole survivors left on that show.
Oh, is that what it is? Welcome to the elimination portion.
It's designated survivors.
That's what we should do. We should vote people off the podcast.
Wow.
Like today.
Oh, gosh.
Here's your parchment. Go write a name on it. I'm sorry, Craig. Go ahead.
This episode, Rhino and I are bringing a dining review of Mel's Drive-In, the quick service location in Universal Studios, Florida, as well as a snack review. And it's a fun show because besides a couple in-studio segments, we shot the show all on location. So trying something different for it, see if people like it.
Lucy goes to Hollywood.
Exactly. Right. That is just what it was like. So you can see that Thursday at on or around 1 o'clock. We'll just say that.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Do you have any information on the Disneyland podcast this week?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So this week's Disneyland podcast is already available on iTunes. You can, of course, always listen to it live Sunday nights on Mixlr.com at some time whenever they do that, 10 o'clock, I think, Eastern time. On this week's show, though, Nancy Johnson has some tips for making the most out of limited park time after a full day at the D23 Expo. So that will be very helpful for people who are
going to D23.
Yep, that's the words.
Quite a lot of people are going to that. Yeah. The only other thing I have in housekeeping is I want folks to know that we will not be doing a show next week for the Diz Unplugged. We actually have the week off because of the 4th of July. So just make sure you're not looking for us and wondering what happened to us. Anything else for housekeeping? Anything I missed? Something super important I should mention?
Oh, if you're one of our Patreon supporters, I just want to let people know there was a bunch of content I posted in there this week. You can go and check it out, which includes a fun drink you can make over this holiday weekend if you want. So if there's ever a time to drink, it's the 4th of July.
I love fun drinks.
As an American.
If there's ever a time to drink, it's right now.
Yeah.
I want to remind folks that for Dreams Unlimited Travel, we have a new Twitter account. Follow us at DreamsUTravel. That's where we're going to be putting up things like when discounts are released and when new content goes on, dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. So please follow us there.
I have one. Just to let everybody know, our Backstage Magic for 2018 has sold out completely. I don't have any space available. But we do have space available on the March 24th Viking Ocean Cruise, the Italian Sojourn. We're going to start in Rome and end in Venice. We still have space on that. There's a bunch of us going. So if you're interested in that, let me know.
I have one.
I just want to mention along those lines, Kevin and I will be on that cruise. Pete will be on the cruise. Craig and Rhino will be on the cruise.
Yes.
And if we reach certain numbers of more guests, we're going to be adding more people to that cruise.
When is this?
March 24th of next year.
So I can prefer no show that week.
Oh, no, it's all
well,
you.
Well, if you can
yourself.
Convince enough other people to go,
you guys might have to go on that.
So there's
hey, bring it on.
There's not a danger of it selling out immediately, right, though? So if people have been contemplating it, we can keep pushing the idea of it?
Here's the idea. There's enough space on the ship. The ship holds 950 people, and there's a bunch of staterooms. The issue with selling out is the bottom five or six categories, meaning the least expensive staterooms, have sold out. So what happens is the lowest priced staterooms sell out first, leaving the more expensive staterooms.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in time, please don't hold me to this because things could have changed. I haven't called in a while. The lowest priced stateroom right now is about $5,600 for two guests. All staterooms are balcony staterooms. There are no inside staterooms. And that includes all your dining, all your shore excursions. It includes pretty much the mini bar in your room and wine and beer with dinner and lunch and breakfast if you choose.
For Rhino making drinks.
Just checking.
It's kind of all inclusive. There are some additional costs. There are some if you want mixed drinks, but there's a package you can buy if that's what you're looking for. But when you say selling out, there are categories that have sold out. The bottom six least expensive staterooms have sold out.
And to clarify, Dreams Unlimited Travel does not have a set amount of space that could sell out. We are able to sell the entire ship.
We have run of the ship
at our current pricing. So there's no
chance
of
current pricing is lower than Viking's pricing.
That's right.
So what happens if you don't sell out? You got the whole ship no matter what?
We've already met our minimum for a group. So we're going to have our group and we're going to do group stuff. Because we've met our minimum.
Currently, the largest group Viking has ever booked.
Are they going to open it up to other people?
The cruise is open to anybody.
Oh, okay.
But our group remains our group. It's kind of like a podcast cruise.
Okay, got it.
Where we have everybody booked in our group, gets our things and our specials. And
anybody can go online and book the cruise, but why would you? You'd go to pay more.
Okay, yeah. Well, I didn't know if you had the whole ship and no one else could book
it. We haven't held the entire ship.
Okay.
No, but the ship, we have 120 guests so far.
Excellent.
Cool.
All right. Teresa, you said you had a housekeeping.
I do. I appreciate everyone's patience. I am still shipping auction items, so be patient. It's in the process. It is a process.
It's been 10 minutes since you used the word ship or auction item.
Hey, it's my world. So I just want to thank everybody for their emails and their phone calls. We're working on it, and we're plowing through the auction items, and we're over.
Has everyone paid?
No, everyone has not paid. I have a small handful of people that have yet to pay. You need to go on handbid.com and pay for your auction item. If you have an issue with that, give me a call. Shoot me an email at teeuckles@dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. And I can take another form of payment if that's an issue for you.
M&M's. You can pay in M&M's, I understand. Yeah.
One guy is paying me in Belgian chocolate, but that's
I didn't know what you were going to say.
Under the table. Exchange. I get it. Okay, never mind. Anyway, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I want to say.
Any other housekeeping? All right. We're going to have Rhino read the news this week because there are no Chinese words that Teresa would have to pronounce.
There had to be a reason.
So we did an easy one and we let Rhino
do Olympic scoring cards for this. The news? When he's done, we can judge him.
Okay. Well, I'm voting off.
I thought you were going to let me read because, like, I finally am able to now. So.
Learned how?
Yeah, that's the.
Excellent. All right. Rhino, take it away.
Okay. So our first story, Hall of Presidents will officially feature a speaking role for Donald Trump. According to MyNews 13, Donald Trump will have a speaking role in the iconic Hall of Presidents attraction located in the Magic Kingdom. So President Bill Clinton was the first to have a speaking role on the attraction. And since then, every president has had one as well. There was some confusion on how large of a role the current president would have in the show, especially after earlier this year when I think this is an online outlet. Vice's Motherboard inferred that the attraction would feature a silent President Donald Trump. Walt Disney World Vice President of Communications Jackie Whaler stated on Sunday that President Donald Trump will have a speaking role, saying, quote, "The same thing that we've done with other presidents is the same plan we have for President Trump," end quote. So the attraction was originally supposed to reopen on June 29th, but now Disney won't give any specific date, saying that will reopen in late 2017.
Awesome. All right, so I'm going to say something. And you all are going to think it's a joke and I'm being facetious, but it's not. I'm dead serious. President Trump is the first president who has ever communicated with the public via Twitter. I think Disney should embrace that. And I think they should do something in that attraction where maybe as he's talking, it shows up on a screen and it shows his Twitter account. I mean,
that's more what you think of Trump rather than
right. Giving speeches and going up and making appearances. And I think that Disney being sort of cutting edge, I think that would be a neat sort of twist on the whole Hall of Presidents thing.
Modern and last I heard, he hadn't done anything with Disney to record his little spiel. So they could do something like that with Twitter.
Right. I think that's one of the reasons why it was postponed, because usually every president does a recording and then they do it.
Mm-hmm. I think the Hall of Presidents is a historical attraction and not a political attraction.
Well, I'm not saying that he should say something political, but I think...
I think there's been a great deal of discussion. Should he? Shouldn't he? Right. Everybody has an opinion. I think Disney has a precedent. I think they have a history of this. And again, I think it's a historical thing. It is not a political thing.
Right. It's part of the attraction. It's what's always happened. Let it go. I'm curious about something. When we go to Imagineering and we talk to the Imagineers, they talk about how, obviously, for certain presidents, they couldn't do it. But for most recent presidents, they were allowed to scan the president's face.
Well, that also is because the gentleman who did the vast majority of the presidents, I believe he's passed away.
Right. Altering the
Gibson.
Blaine.
Wayne Gibson?
Blaine.
I was going to say, no, it's not Wayne. Blaine Gibson. I apologize. If he hasn't, I apologize, Blaine. But he is elderly.
So, but also the 3D technology helps him make a more accurate likeness. All right.
Cool. All right.
That's your cue to move on.
All right. I was not 100% sure. So the next story.
Made you talk.
Walt Disney's original Disneyland presentation map has sold for $708,000 at auction. The Walt Disney's Disneyland auction took place in Los Angeles on June 25th, 2017, and the auction displayed approximately 1,000 other rare Disney artifacts as well. But after some pretty exciting bidding, the map sold for $708,000. Dollars, said Mike Van Eaton, co-owner of Van Eaton Galleries, quote, "We are beyond thrilled that the map will continue to be appreciated and cherished just like it has been for all these years."
Because he's getting a commission on that $708,000. He's beyond thrilled.
Forbes reports that the auction also included a rare Haunted Mansion hitchhiking ghost animatronic shirt, a Walt Disney World Railroad conductor costume, Haunted Mansion costume, Indiana Jones Adventure female and male wardrobe designs, Star Tours male costume, a tiki room cast member blouse, and a Walt Disney World guest relations costume. And other remarkable pieces up for auction included an original ride vehicle from Autopia, an original model from Michael, a model of Michael Jackson from the Captain EO attraction, an extremely rare poster from the grand opening of the Haunted Mansion attraction, an original poster from Matterhorn Bobsleds attraction, a section of the carpet from Walt Disney's apartment in Disneyland, and an extremely rare opening day Disneyland guidebook signed by Walt Disney himself.
This isn't the Herb Ryman drawing.
No, this is a poster.
No, the original drawing.
This isn't the original drawing. It is one of the presentation maps. So Herb Ryman did the original, and then they made copies of the original for when they would travel. Like, I believe this one was, when they Walt took it or Roy took it to New York, this was one that he would have taken to show to investors. And the original is, of course, still held in Imagineering.
That's what I was going to ask, where the original
For years and years, I have been asking. Because it seems that every building you go into in Disney, whether it's Disney here, Disneyland, there is a picture, a copy of this. And it's what it's when you Xerox something over and over and you make a copy of a copy of a copy. The lines look like it was drawn with thick black magic marker.
Yeah.
And I've always said, why is this not an attraction in and of itself? Why is this not on Main Street? Why is this not like the Declaration of Independence in a secure location that people can admire it? And on one of our recent Backstage Magics, our exclusive Backstage Magic, they brought out the original Herb Ryman drawing.
Oh, wow.
And we got to stand in front of it. We got to stand about 3 feet from it. And it is the finest pencil strokes you can imagine.
Oh, wow.
I would describe the lines, instead of being thick and bulky, they look like spider webs. It is very, very detailed. Huh. And I cried. I was completely blown away by it.
I believe 1 year they took it to D23.
Yep. But apparently you were 15 feet back, so you could only see it. We got to, if somebody had reached out, they could have touched it. No one did, but that's how close
they
we were.
They didn't have it like in a glass case or anything?
No. It was in the art library.
Wow.
And believe it or not, they use chain link fencing to display the stuff, and they're on sliders. There's like 5 or 6 of the chain link fence sections, so they can slide things out, and it makes it very easy to put things up there and take them down. And they pulled it out, and I don't know what anybody else's reaction, because I thought, I don't think I can breathe the right way. I can't believe this. To me, is the origin of Disneyland.
You would, I don't know.
It's crazy.
I mean, I figured there'd be like lights on it, and it would make mute. You know what I mean? It's like that's the history of Disney. That's where it all started.
It's
a lot more fanfare involved.
Yeah,
it's very. They were very quiet about it. No one told us what was coming. And again, I don't know what anyone else's reaction to, because I stopped listening. I stopped thinking. I kept thinking, I am standing in front of the original Herb Ryman drawing.
Wow.
I felt very lucky.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Some of this other stuff sounds really cool that they auction off as well. But then they throw in things like a Walt Disney World guest relations costume.
There's a lot of costumes in there. Like, somebody raided
Tiki
their
blast.
Wardrobe. Like,
I got to tell you, I have a guest relations vest from the Magic Kingdom. It's part of a framed pin set I framed, but it's got the Magic Kingdom buttons on it. Mine is a 2X, and I bought it on eBay for $49.
I have... I think I accidentally have a Lights Motors Action
accidentally
shirt still.
Yeah, they didn't want that back.
Nobody wanted that one, though. Yeah, they actually asked me to take it on my way out.
Give those to Goodwill.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anyway, so the big story is the next one here, I think, of the week. But Bob Iger has responded to TMZ questions about Ron Howard. That he was asked in a parking lot. So TMZ ambushed Disney CEO Bob Iger in the parking area at Ebaldi in Beverly Hills to question him about his confidence in Ron Howard as the new director of the Han Solo film. So if you haven't heard, Phil Lord and Chris Miller were originally slated to direct this film, and they were let go on June 20th. They were terminated by Kathleen Kennedy, who is the head of Lucasfilm.
I do think, though, in all fairness, a lot of the reports are that it was mutual.
Yeah.
I don't know that it was as, you know, sudden as you are terminated. I mean, entertainment.
No, I heard it was leading up to it. Like they had hoped that they would come to an agreement, and it wasn't. So they were hired based on their previous work, which is successful, the Lego Movie, 21 Jump Street. You know, they have a lot of they have a great resume of successful works, and they were going to put, you know, that spin on it. But what happened was, is I think they were too improvisational is what we're hearing reports of, versus Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote this film and wrote like The Empire Strikes Back. He was seeing dailies that he didn't like, that they weren't reciting the words as he had written them. And then essentially Kathleen Kennedy was upset because they were taking a lot longer than they should have been to be filming this movie. And it all just kind of led to nobody was getting along, and they fired them with 3.5 weeks left of filming. So nobody knew who was going to step in, and Ron Howard has taken the job. So like I said, TMZ got to Bob Iger, who hasn't really said anything about this yet, but Iger avoided answering questions about the upcoming Star Wars feature to a certain degree, but he did offer a few retorts. So when asked if the movie can be salvaged, Iger answers, yes, of course. The reporter asked a few questions about Howard's experience with the sci-fi fantasy genre, stating the only other space movie Howard has ever done is Apollo 13, which Iger replies with, quote, I don't think that is relevant in this case. When asked if the veteran director was a big Star Wars guy, Iger confirmed, he's going to be great. I can, like, hear his voice saying that, too. You know, he always says that about everything. And in an effort to put a negative emphasis on the film's developments, TMZ asks Iger, I'm not saying it. It is, but what can you say to the fans to convince them that it's not doomed? And Iger gives a very measured response here, saying, first of all, we have a great cast, we have a great script, and we have a great director. It's going to be fine. And then he didn't speak on the delays at all, if there would be any at all. So there's been reports coming out now every day lately, it seems like, that an acting coach had to be brought in May for the main character, the Alden Ehrenreich, who's playing the young Han Solo, that apparently Kathleen Kennedy and the people at Lucasfilm aren't happy with his performance. And that could be the directors aren't pulling the correct performance out of him. Lawrence Kasdan, the writer, was unhappy, like I said. This happened kind of with Rogue One, too. They didn't like Gareth Edwards' work, and they had a shadow director come in and finish the rest of the reshoots. And I think what happened here is they were going to do the same, and they didn't want to deal with that. So they ended up splitting their ways. So
I usually like when TMZ, you know, gets celebrities and they ask them these questions. For some reason that this happened to Bob Iger, I'm not happy about this. I feel like the, you know, leave Britney alone guy. Leave Bob Iger alone. You know, it's like, don't be ambushing Bob Iger about stuff.
In the parking lot.
Really?
They're brutal, though.
They are. They cross the line sometimes.
Yeah. I see them waiting at the airport whenever we get off the plane at LAX. They're always looking. There's always going to be somebody there.
And, waiting.
Rhino, yeah. Rhino, how's this pop going?
Just hold your purse up in front of your face.
Right. I just do that anyways, running through. No questions. But, you know, sometimes people turn and think, what's that?
Oh, look, it's Sia.
Who was she?
Rhino, thank you very much for reading the news. Certainly appreciate it this week. Coming up, we have Steve Porter. Steve's actually in the parks. He's going to give us a nice update of what's going on with the construction. And I have to vamp for a few minutes because we don't have him up on the screen yet.
Yeah, I just want to point out, I'm calling him. He's just not answering. So.
Oh, Steve.
Oh, my.
He's probably not watching either, so he doesn't care about
our reaction. I bet he has his purse up in front of his face.
He must have his purse up in front of his face.
You know he doesn't go anywhere without his mac and cheese purse.
All right, Teresa, tell us more about shipping in the auction. We had some free time.
I want to talk about Ron Howard some more. You think he's going to change the movie?
Well,
he has said
that he's going to honor the film that he's picking up. That I don't think he's coming in to like massively change this thing, but I think he's going to align the film with how Lucasfilm and Kathleen Kennedy.
Because it's Opie,
wants
it's Richie Cunningham. He has such a sweet way. All of his movies are awesome, I think. I like them all. Ones I've seen, I like.
Well, I don't believe
I'm not going to critique them all, but I just feel like...
I think he's an accomplished director,
yes.
For sure.
I don't think his style conflicts with the Star Wars, you know, universe. I think he's got that sort of, you know, fantasy idea of, you know, good wins out over evil and all that stuff.
Seems
and good things happen.
I don't know.
So.
I think it'd be good.
I think Ron Howard movies are very human.
I look forward to that aspect being brought into it, maybe, you know.
If he's got time to.
That the technology would take not a backseat, but the human story would be as important as the technical story.
Yeah.
Because we want to know more about Han Solo.
I do want to. I was looking forward to this movie.
We do.
They just said it was coming out too much like a screwball comedy. So that's, you know that's what?
If you think about it, though,
like a Frank Capra Star Wars movie.
Okay, so Harrison Ford, he always brought a little bit of humor and ad-libbed a lot. So they've got to play that into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. It can't be.
I read that it's the idea is there is a misinterpretation of that humor, and that the humor comes from the fact that he's selfish, and the original, you know, in A New Hope, it's supposed to be that he's just kind of a little carefree, I guess, or a little – he only cares about himself, and that – they're trying to make it play up the humor, whereas the humor is a consequence of his character.
Right.
So that
well, you also have, you know, thing. You have someone who's younger. He's being portrayed younger.
Yeah.
So there's that sort of element of maybe a little bit more flip, a little bit more.
Yeah, life hasn't beat him down.
Right,
yet.
Exactly. And he's
like, oh,
please get Steve on the phone. Please get Steve on the phone.
Oh, good.
Come on, Kevin. Let's talk more about Star Wars.
Oh, my gosh. I've even tried to participate.
I think we're going to talk about some Star Wars a little more right now.
Because there's never enough.
All right. What do you think, Craig? We ready to go?
Yep.
Awesome. Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Hey, guys.
Why weren't you answering the phone?
Really?
I was.
Not sure. According to our producer.
Oh, well, that's weird.
Can we turn this sound up a little bit for us here in the studio? Having trouble hearing them. So, Steve, tell us where you are. What do we see behind you besides construction walls?
I am right outside of Tatooine Traders. I've actually stood here before when construction was a little bit earlier on with the Star Wars Land Progress. And so I'm actually just going to flip the camera right around and get right into it and show you guys what is going on here.
Awesome.
Because there's a lot to show you. So, all right. So we still now have the Streets of America buildings that are, I think, now going to be a permanent thing because they've just painted them a different color. I've noticed that comparing them to some of the older pictures. So it looks like that is almost going to be part of an expanded Muppets courtyard over here, and then it will lead right into Star Wars Land where these cement walls are, is what I'm kind of getting from this, or else I wouldn't understand why they would paint the buildings a new color if they were just going to tear them down. So I think those are there to stay, but the thing that kind of blew me away the most is in the very background. I hope you guys can see, but it looks like the AT-ATs are kind of hidden in that steel structure back there. So that seems like a lot of progress from last time.
If you go back by Toy Story, you can see that a lot better.
Yep. Yeah, you can see it as well. You can just see, like, the very tops of them over by Toy Story Land, kind of over by Toy Story Mania. But, yeah, this is a lot more to see. I think it gives a better understanding of how the layout of this area is going to be. It seems like this right in front of me is going to be a wide open space, which I think would be good, especially with how populous this area is going to be, to kind of lead people into the land. But yeah, just a ton of progress, and they're very fast. They've been working all day. It seems like not Disney of the past where construction is everyone looking at one guy doing everything. So, pretty exciting.
Cool. Speaking of cool, how hot is it there?
It is extremely warm. Yeah. I bought 2 or 3 bottles of water already. It's 90 degrees, and the humidity is off the charts. So I'm trying to stay cool as much as possible. Just popping in and out of gift shops and drinking lots of water. So
is it busy?
You got to do what you got to do.
How busy are the parks? How busy is the park?
It's fairly busy. You got 45-minute waits for Star Tours, so not horrible, but it is busy.
What have you eaten so far today? We usually talk about what you eat.
I actually haven't stopped by anywhere to eat. I've been kind of running around trying to grab construction photos. So like I showed you guys here and some of the Toy Story Land area photos, I actually was just posting on social media, so be sure to check those out. They're already up on Twitter, and you can find them on the homepage, and they'll be up on Facebook at 2 o'clock.
What's the mood of the crowd like? Are people happy?
No.
No. People aren't happy. It's the happiest place on earth.
Someone smiling at Walt Disney World is getting harder.
Steve, are you not taking their emotional temperature?
That's the mood of
what? It's right. The happiest place on earth. And how many people are miserable and yelling at their kids?
Looking around, it's hard to find anyone that's smiling.
You have to go over to where Cruz Ramirez is. Everybody over there is always really happy.
Is he the cast member at Star Tours?
That's the new meet and greet for the car from Cars.
Where do they do that meet and greet,
right,
Gabby?
Next to, you know, like if you're looking at Toy Story Mania, to the left.
Oh,
like
okay.
Over where it used to say Hot Set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually over there just a little while ago. They have, obviously, you can take your picture with them or her, and she also talks, and the Piston Cup is there, too. So it's a cool little picture spot. Cup. They're making the most of that dead end back there.
What happened in a cup?
The Piston Cup.
Oh.
Oh, right. Okay.
Whew. Steve, where are you off to next?
Home.
I am
air conditioning.
I can get it probably on the Great Movie Ride. I got my all my construction stuff done with, so now I'm going to hop on some of these rides.
Yeah, get in someplace cool and out of the sun, because it is brutal out there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Be home in time for dinner. You're married.
Maybe actually I'll grab some lunch. That's probably a good idea.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Stay hydrated.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Everything I say, Teresa finds funny.
It's the mood of the people.
It's the mood.
You know?
Could you come here? I have an emotional thermometer.
Right? I was waiting for him to grab somebody and pull him into the shot.
We should do that. We should have random interviews with people.
I think that would be fun.
Listen, I stopped asking him to do embarrassing things.
Right. But I think it would be awesome to just pull some random person
like Stevie
in
on the street,
ask
kind
them
of
what
thing?
They're doing. Right? Right? What are you doing today? What have you been doing?
What's interesting about his report about the construction is he says how fast it's going. The thing is, all of the sort of preliminary work took forever. I mean, they were preparing that area for months and months and months. So I think you're just seeing now the, you know, the stuff you can actually see.
You think they're going to open the that area? So I know it's going to be a gray wall with the I don't know what they're going to make for the entrance, the hole, whatever, that you go in to get to Star Wars. You think they're going to open that as soon as they can to add a little bit more breathing room over in that area?
I hope so, but what hole?
To enter through a hole?
I'm not talking about the hole.
It's a hole.
Yeah, the
it's
portal,
like a time warp,
whatever.
It's a portal.
I don't know how you're going to get that. I don't know the transportation yet, but, you know, it's a wall in a circle like that you
Kevin
go in.
Kevin looks so interested in this.
I am so confused as
well.
In Super Nintendo World, it would be like a warp pipe. And this, I don't know what it's going to be. It's like a.
Well, that's what
I
thought.
You don't think it's just going to be walking into a land like Pandora? You don't think it's just going to be an open.
No. It's like closed off from the rest of the park. Like it's going
to
be its own little world.
It enters through the hole.
Yeah.
Well, talking about the construction stuff, they took a lot of the construction crews from Avatar, Pandora, and now they're over working on Star Wars.
God, I hope there'll be no crawling through
and
holes.
There's a,
we can walk through straight up.
There's a big scrim, you know, where the what used to be in there, Pirates of the Caribbean, they used to have a...
No, that's
like
in the Magic
set,
Kingdom.
The Jack thing?
You could see parts of the movie.
Yeah.
But where the bathrooms are by Toy Story Mania, they've like closed that off because they're working on the entrance. Where we came out when we did the Toy Story party, when we had a...
I know what part you're talking about because I worked it.
John's looking at me like...
I am waiting for her to say a noun. I'm waiting for the...
Where the bathrooms are,
you know,
outside
the
Toy
out of.
Story.
Yeah.
And then we came out, there was an entranceway there. That's where we parked backstage.
Yes, right,
for the
backstage
thing.
Area. Okay.
That's all closed off because that's Toy Story Land.
Okay.
So it's closed off. There's scrims, there's stuff, but that's supposed to open next year.
Okay.
So that's where the entrance to Toy Story is going to be, over
Goodness.
Between the two buildings?
Yes.
You think? Okay.
So much activity.
That was going to be, but that makes sense.
I can't believe there's not a construction worker shortage in Orlando.
I would think now there is.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just Disney. Everywhere.
Excellent. All right, so let's move on to Rapid Fire, and we're going to start with Rhino. Rhino, tell us your Rapid Fire.
All right, so mine is about the mobile ordering system, which currently as of today, it's added another restaurant to it. So both Restaurantosaurus and Disney's Animal Kingdom and Deluxe Burger in Disney Springs will be added to this service. Restaurantosaurus started today on the 27th, and Deluxe Burger will begin on Wednesday, the 5th, July 5th. So this is that mobile ordering option that was added to My Disney Experience. So they started at Satu'li Canteen, and you can just order on your phone and then go pick up your food when you get there, which sounds amazing. I haven't gotten to try it yet. Has anybody tried it yet?
I tried it when they were testing it. It's pretty cool. But
yeah.
You don't hit the button until you're like – you have to be so many feet from – the thing, and then it processes it.
Well, mobile ordering is my favorite thing ever. When Chipotle was the first place that I knew that started doing this, when they started doing that so you could just skip a line and walk right up and get your food, that was the end of any
The one near our house doesn't do that. They don't, like, you mobile order it, but they don't start it till you get there.
Oh, well, see, ours, you can set up mine for a specific time, and you just walk right up to the register. And
ours hasn't done that.
You can't hit the button until you're there?
Until you're, like, within proximity. It's still quick. It's still quicker than waiting in the line.
Yeah, like, I believe McDonald's mobile ordering is this way. It will, like, read off your GPS where you're actually at in relation to the restaurant. Because they're not going to make food for you. Like, if you say, oh, I'm going to be here at 1:30, they make your food, and then you don't show up till 1:45, then they have to just, you know, they have to start your order all over again. So that's why you have to be close enough by to say, like, I am here.
So on the My Disney Experience app now, this button will appear when you're close enough to actually place order. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So if you get stuck on a ride or something like that, then you're not left with cold food when you get there or something. So.
Or, you know, if somebody changes their mind and orders and doesn't pick it up,
right?
You know, there's no waste. So cool. Thank you, Rhino. Kevin, you're up.
Projection mapping technology is going to bring classic movies to the park at the Chinese Theater in Hollywood Studios. There's going to be a 10-minute show. It's going to be classic movies. It's going to be called Disney Movie Magic, and it is going to have – you're going to be able to step in time with the chimney sweeps from Mary Poppins. There'll be Pirates of the Caribbean, Tron Legacy, and Lumiere from Beauty and the Beast. It will be in conjunction with the Disney's Hollywood Studios Star Wars Galactic Spectacular and The Jungle Book, 20,000 Leagues, Cinderella, Swiss Family Robinson, and Love Bug will also feature into it. And – that's it. It's going to start with Mary Poppins, which took place, the premiere of which took place in 1964 at Grauman's Chinese Theater. So there's a little.
So there's a projection show before the main fireworks. Right. And,
yeah, this actually started. Sorry, I didn't see your rapid fire come in. This started last month, back at the end of May. And so it's like a little 10-minute show before the fireworks starts as kind of an added bonus. Personally, I think it's a beautiful show. I think it should replace the Star Wars fireworks, and they should expand it.
Heresy.
I love Star Wars fireworks, but it's Disney's Hollywood Studios. And yes, Star Wars is a part of that now, but you now have this projection show that showcases all of these Disney movies. Wouldn't that make more sense as the nighttime fireworks show?
To me, it's then,
I mean, that's all I'm saying.
Do you think that the projection, like the mapping they're using for the movie show, is better utilized? Are they using that technology better for that than they are for the fireworks show?
Is
it crisper, cleaner? Is it?
No, it's the exact same projectors and everything.
No, but I mean, like, you know how the fireworks show is, like, it was cool when it first came out, but it's now we've seen, like, Happily Ever After, that there's a lot of animated things happening on the projections, whereas Star Wars is, like, a clip show. Almost.
The best thing I ever saw them do with it was in Paris, and it was the first time I had ever seen it. And the Hunchback jumped from spire to spire.
That's what they do in the Magic Kingdom now, and that's my favorite part. Yeah, it's really cool.
It's the best part I've ever seen them do with this projection stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that there's anything wrong with the Star Wars projections. I think it's just a different style of show. It's a lot harder to create original clips for Star Wars to be shown on the Chinese theater than Happily Ever After, where they drew it to be on that castle. So it's just two different things.
You have a point in the fact that Hollywood Studios is quickly becoming Star Wars Studios, right? Everything is about Star Wars now. That's the gear towards it. Maybe if they went back to sort of the idea of it's all of Disney movies, not just animated movies, but...
I like your idea. I enjoyed Hollywood Studios when it was movie-centric. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Love Bug. Remember Love Bug?
I do.
It's my first movie I ever saw in the theater.
Mine was Mary Poppins.
And it's still movie-centric. It's just... it's changing. It's taking what Universal tried to start to accomplish.
We agreed with him, right?
Right, but I think I liked this classic movie.
We understand.
We're on your side.
I get it.
We agree with him. All right, let's move on. Kathy, what's your rapid fire?
Okay.
Hopefully it'll be less controversial.
I hope so. Seven Seas Drive will be a one-way road heading westbound on Monday, July 3rd and July 4th from 5 to 9 p.m. Disney security will be on site at the Seven Seas Drive crosswalk to help alleviate any confusion for guests. So what they're doing is the road in front of the Polynesian. If you're going to the Polynesian, you're going to go in the right-hand lane, and the left-hand lane will be available for guests heading north and southbound on Floridian Way. So if you're trying to get out of the park, you're going to either be in the left-hand lane to go out to your Disney resort or the right-hand lane to go to the Poly. That's just to help get the traffic through there.
Isn't it already a one-way street?
No. Traffic can come up the other way.
That's how much I know. Yeah. I should probably drive in the right lane then on that road, shouldn't I? Probably shouldn't cross that line. Huh? Thank you, Kathy. Teresa, shipping, auction.
Teresa, what's shipping? Your mood?
Really? What?
What's your mood?
Let's gauge my mood. Let's talk about Twisty Treat, shall we? Cape Canaveral, it's still not open. They promised me 2 weeks ago it was going to open a week before. And it's really starting to piss me off. The landscaping's done. Everything's good. It looks good. They won't answer my call. Please call Twisty Treat at 321-445-9103. Leave a message and ask them why it's not open. Put on their Facebook page, why is it not open?
I figured they would hit it up for the 4th of July weekend.
I thought so, too. Yeah. It had. We'll see.
I love Teresa, the investigative reporter. They won't take my calls.
I need you to call me the second it does. I'm going to come video you.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know what? It's really not about the ice cream. It's about the architecture of the beautiful cone, and I wanted to see it light up and sparkle. And
we have one near our house.
I passed three on my way to work.
Does yours have chocolate on top of it?
Yes, it does.
Ours does not.
Yeah.
Some do and some don't.
Ours does not. Ours.
I haven't seen a chocolate one.
Some some don't.
They sell more ice cream in the wintertime than summertime, because summertime people don't like when it melts.
Get it? Well,
I'm
not a big ice cream eater. That's the whole thing. I don't eat a lot of ice cream, but I want.
All right, this has officially become the worst show we've ever done.
Oh, stop!
It's just hit.
Please call Twisty Treat.
Please call. I want the flashing numbers on the screen later. Call Twisty Treat now.
Thank you, Teresa. Craig.
Okay, so last week they announced the full lineup for Epcot's Eat to the Beat concert series during the Food and Wine Festival happening this fall. So I won't go over all of the entire...
Please do.
You want me to go
please.
Over every
We all have to count in our heads how many times we say, they're still alive?
Exactly.
Okay, well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to read through every single one. Okay, so the first act, Delta Ray.
Excellent.
Okay. next up, the Hooters.
Okay.
Okay. This next one's a get ready for it. The Baja Men.
Who let the dogs out?
Yes, those.
Oh, wow. Some
those
oh,
my. Ooh.
Yeah.
That's the first one I've recognized.
I know, right?
Are the Hooters... No, that was Hootie.
That's Hootie. Yeah. I thought the same thing.
No. Darius Rucker is still very famous.
Hey.
He is. The country world. Fuel is after that. And then returning favorites, Starship, starring Mickey Thomas.
Choice. Oh, that one always makes me sad.
Fuel or Fuel?
Fuel.
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 He said it like Fuel.
Fuel.
Yeah.
Fuel.
Fuel.
Is that Pennsylvania?
Fuel.
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 Moving on.
How do you fuel today?
After that, it is Lauren Elena.
Who's that?
Don't ask me. She sang The Road Less Traveled. There you go. The Plain White Tees.
Oh.
Sister Hazel.
Oh.
Air Supply.
Oh, no.
David Cook.
All out of love.
I do love David Cook.
Yeah, I know you do.
I know. I'm the only one. I'm sorry.
Everclear. Sugar Ray. 38 Special. Mark Willis. American Authors. Christopher Cross, Devin Allman, Dennis DeYoung from Styx, Taylor Dane, Jeffrey Osborne, Postmodern Jukebox, 10,000 Maniacs, Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh, wow.
My personal favorite, Kenny G.
Oh, there you go.
It's going to bring a saxophone.
Oh, I will be there front and center. Billy Ocean, Tiffany, Hanson.
Oh, God, I love Hanson.
Blue October.
Jeez.
Sorry.
Tiffany?
Yes, Tiffany.
She's done with her mall tour, finally.
She has a little resale shop in Tennessee, and she's back on the road again.
I bet she's alone now.
Yes. Absolutely, she is. I think I stopped at Blue Color, Living Color, Blue October, Living Color, Boys to Men, Big Bad Voodoo Daddy, and ending off with Squeeze. So this runs August 31st Squeeze. Through November 13th.
Pulling muscles from Michelle.
Oh, my God. I have every album they ever made, actually.
All two of them.
They had three or four in the big day. I like Squeeze.
Okay. Good for you.
That's the only one I got excited
about. Are all of the Maniacs going to be there?
10,000 of them.
Yeah, but I would only want to know if there was one going to be there, because I don't recognize the other Maniacs.
It's not the original ones.
And Natalie Imbruglia. What was her name?
You have
Natalie
dates Imbruglia. On this? Oh. Go back and give us the dates.
A part of 10,000 Maniacs?
I don't know. Natalie Merchant was. Oh, and he always makes fun of me because I like Natalie Imbruglia.
I like Natalie Imbruglia. That's fine. I just got excited.
All right.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh, you're not done?
Do you
okay,
have
good.
The dates on this?
Yeah, I said it was August 31st through November 15th.
But you didn't give us the date of each one. Can you go back and recap that?
No, you cannot.
Yeah,
no,
this would be a three-hour show. Really? Look it up on WDWinfo.com.
You
want to
know when Everclear is going to be there, don't you?
Yeah.
We do have a resource you can go to and find this. Thank you, Craig. All right, so we're going to end the show on a little segment that Craig came up with, a little idea he had. So I'm going to let him explain it. And then we can talk about it.
Yeah, so, you know, when we have a little bit time left in the show, Pete likes to go scour the boards and find out what was a trending thread that was coming up through the last week. And this past week, there was a pretty interesting one started by Tony's with a Z, who is a big fan of the show, I believe. Otherwise, he'd just constantly posts on the Diz Unplugged podcast forum way too often. But he started a thread that was titled, "In Your Opinion, What is the Most Overrated Thing in Walt Disney World?" And it is it sparked a conversation now that's gone on for 31 pages full of people chiming in their answers. And right off the bat, it just gets bad when I start seeing someone saying Jungle Cruise and Tiki Room are considered overrated. Someone put Small World as overrated, which I know Kevin would go and beat them as soon as this is over. And it just keeps going on. Someone actually had the nerve of saying that a Dole Whip is the most overrated thing at Disney.
Was
so
that
kind of...
Yeah, I'd agree with that one.
What?
You agree with Dole Whip?
We did a that Minnesota is- about this where it's in the top three of the... What I think are the overrated things. Like, I'm sorry, Mickey bars. Blech. I said it.
Yeah. So he said that opens up this. So for the last couple minutes here, this, what do you guys think is it could be an attraction, a food, a restaurant. What is the overrated thing?
Teresa, you
Walt
go
Disney?
First.
No, don't make me go first.
Come on, what's the most overrated thing you think is? Do you agree with any of the things on that list?
The Dole Whip kind of, I don't get the...
It's not like it's a negative thing. I don't
no,
hate
it's
Dole
not
Whip.
Negative.
I love Dole Whip. I think Dole Whip's great, but I can go to Menchie's and they do Dole Whip at Menchie's too. It's no longer an exclusive thing here, really.
I got one. The Mickey Waffle. Some people...
At buffets, breakfast
yeah,
buffets.
Yeah, it makes
like
or breaks their trip. It's a waffle. It's a Lego my ego. I mean, I don't... Sorry.
I don't think anything is overrated. I think it's what your memories are. I think it's what you like.
Right. In someone's mind. I mean, in my mind, things I like, you probably think, why would you do that?
Well, yeah. I think strictly from the travel agent perspective, right, what are the things that we get people say to us, I have to do this or else my trip is ruined? What do you think about
that?
I
think that's overrated.
Yeah. When people say, you know, if I don't have dinner at Be Our Guest, my whole trip is ruined.
When I was growing up, I used to go to the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey, and there was this one French fry place that I used to go to all the time, and I thought they were the best French fries in the entire world. We have visited that spot as an adult, and you know what I realized? They're French fries.
Right.
But they were the best French fries in the world to me because I was on the boardwalk in Wildwood, New Jersey.
Which is the experience.
Right. So I see that. With Mickey bars and Dole
it's
Whips
the same
and things.
Thing.
That's the thing of the Dole Whip, right?
People
are on vacation.
And they want to recreate the experience that they had before. Right. I know someone that they have to eat in a certain restaurant. It has to be the first place they eat. If they can't get in, then, you know, it messes up their whole trip.
Well, there was that whole – I apologize. I interrupted you.
I mean, it is – and to me, it's the – I don't want to say the food's overrated, but people put too much emphasis on – a certain experience. Just go with the frickin' flow.
And I don't care if it's your experience. Go experience it the way you want to experience it. My judging that's overrated, well, you might not think that standing in line to see It's a Small World is the best thing in the world. I can't imagine going to the Magic Kingdom without doing it. So,
Anthony, what about you? Not maybe overrated, but what is the thing that you hear people say, I have to do this? And you think to yourself, really? Do you really have to do it?
Well, Cinderella Castle or Cinderella's Royal Table was one that used to be the hot thing.
Oh, many, many years. Oh, my gosh.
And
it was awful.
I'm here to say I've never done it.
I haven't either, Kathy. Let's
go. And I consider myself a Disney fan, but, you know, you get people, oh, but that's what we were really looking forward to, and I'll suggest something else. Oh, no, that just, you know, and it's like, just, I guess my thing
always
is,
well, the castle or a churro, you know, that we suggest.
You know, I said, you know, there's plenty of other things that you can do. And I always feel bad when somebody, you know, like I'll say something, they go, oh, but my neighbor said you really have to do whatever. And it's like, but I go all the time and I have a great time no matter what it is. But back to the waffles, where else can you get waffles that have Mickey and Minnie's face on them?
You can make them at home.
I thought,
no, you can get them in the freezer section.
No, when we had waffles, when we did the one fam, and the cast member stood there and talked to me about, you know, that you could tell the difference because this was Mickey and this was Minnie. That, to me, said Disney.
Do you know what the difference between Mickey and Minnie is? A bow and eyelashes.
I was worried, where are you going to go for a minute?
But I mean, extended waffle.
If you look at the picture, the difference between Mickey and Minnie is a bow and eyelashes.
I know, but I thought that was a big deal that I could have Mickey and Minnie waffles.
Well, that's cool. I'm not shooting you down.
No, Andy, I'm just saying.
Let's not break up our friendship over it.
Oh.
Mickey waffles are good if you stand there and snatch it from the man.
Oh,
well,
these
it.
Were fresh, right.
Otherwise, they're just cold.
Yeah,
I've never been to Tom Sawyer Island, and I've been going since 1971.
Wow.
I know.
Never?
I know.
I don't think anyone's going to say that's overrated, though.
No.
I want to meet the person who says
She was talking about things. I think saying your vacation will be ruined if is overrated.
Right.
Absolutely. I think the Grand Floridian's overrated. I think it's a beautiful resort, but as far as like Disney resorts go, I mean, you've got the Polynesian that's beautifully themed. You've got the Animal Kingdom Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, like all these really awesomely themed. And then like the Grand Floridian,
it's a theme.
It doesn't do it for me. That's all.
It's not saying it's bad, but it's exactly personal taste.
That's all I'm going to say. And so when people are like, but the Grand Floridian, when people assume that one's the best one. That's where I say no.
Who's assuming that?
I don't know, people.
Every sitcom ever that goes to Disney.
Yeah, pretty
always.
Much.
It's kind of like Animal Kingdom. They go, but.
All right.
Well, it's because location.
I don't understand the appeal of Ohana. And here's the deal. And you know what? I am happy to step out and let you have my space.
Oh.
But it's not that I don't think you should go. I really don't think you should go. It doesn't appeal to me in any way. The Whispering Canyon Cafe and the Wilderness Lodge does not appeal to me. I think it's that style of dining that doesn't appeal to me. But I don't have kids. It's not my thing. Go do it. Happy to have you enjoy it. It's just not something I would get in your way for.
Well, for me, I've said it many times. I flat out think that Seven Dwarf Mine Train is completely overrated.
I'll agree with
you on
that.
It is the animatronics inside are breathtaking, and standing at it and seeing it from the outside, it's really pretty. But in terms of intensity, I feel like the Barnstormer's more of a roller coaster than even what Mine Train is, and it took way too long to build. It takes up way too much space for what it actually is, and you know we've had discussions over and again on accommodation and rides, and I feel like they just, you know, to make the technology of the swinging seats and stuff, they just made it way too constrictive. And you know, it's so all of those elements put together, to me, it's just. Some people love waiting 2 hours for it. Some people want that fast pass for it immediately. I think it's completely overrated. Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to, for the last few minutes, I'm going to flip it. What's not overrated? What's that thing that maybe you go to Disney and you ride every time, or you experience every time, or you eat every time, where you think this is what Disney's about. This is what going to Walt Disney World is about. I'm going to start with myself. I'm going to say Big Thunder Railroad. To me, I think that's almost, in my mind, the perfect Disney ride. It has thrills. It has excitement. It has a story. It has a theme. The cue is great. That's my opinion. That sort of encapsulates what Disney's about. Go.
Gosh,
I'm People Mover.
You took the words out of my mouth.
People Mover. It gives you a view of it. It's classic. You get to see a crap load of stuff as you're going around, a little bit of the past.
That's what it says in the brochure.
It's right. It's just, I do not go to the Magic Kingdom without
awesome.
At least twice. It calms me. It makes me happy.
Centers you.
It does. It's all about, and it makes me, it gives me all the tingling.
Do you know there are people who think that's silly and would never ride it or never ride it again because it's not really a new cool thrill ride?
But you know what? They're not getting into it in their mind. And
but that's,
you know,
because
they're shallow people. What?
Okay.
I agree with you. I think that's it. I've said it 1,000 times. I think It's a Small World is classic. I just, to me, it's like one of the first things I rode the first time I went to.
I think that's one of the things for me in Big Thunder Railroad is that it's one of those things, the first ride I rode, fell in love with it, so it sort of encapsulates my experience. Kathy, what about you? Don't say Figment.
Don't say Figment.
No, it's Figment. It's to me, that's Disney. You know,
are we friends? I don't get it.
But, you know, I'll be sad if, you know, current rumors have it going away.
Really? There's a rumor?
Yeah.
Aren't there always, though?
No, this is stronger. They're supposed to make an announcement at D23.
Guardians of the Galaxy?
They're going to do something.
Stuff out there.
They're supposed to do something with Inside Out, and then they're going to have a little segment in there that will be Figment, but basically the Figment is going
away. Sadness pushes them to the ground.
Yeah, I'm going to be very sad.
Joy jumps all over him.
So you may see me chained to the door of Figment.
I've heard you say that before. I guess it just didn't pan out last time.
If you're going to go video something, skip Twisty Treat and video Kathy chained to an attraction.
With sadness standing over her with a foot on her back.
All right, Rhino, what about you? What's not overrated? What's that thing that makes you Disney-fied?
I really like Fort Wilderness. I didn't really know this existed when I was a kid, so when I moved here and people brought it up, it just seems like this – I know for some it may be like you're – how did you not know? But we never stayed at Disney resorts when I was a kid, so, and we came all the time. We just couldn't afford it, you know. And so, like, getting to experience that sort of stuff now is that I just love the idea that there's, like, this own little – it has its own culture in there. Like, people come every year. They decorate their cabins and campsites for Halloween, and they do all the stuff, and they're, like, regulars there. And so it's got its own little own little thing. Okay, but it's in the woods right next to Disney
World. You do know that the first four letters spell cult, right, in culture?
I'm going to go back a little bit. To me, do you want to know what the epitome of Disney is to me? Sure, I can. As you're driving in and you go under the water bridge, and you come up and you see the monorail coming out of the Contemporary, that to me is my first vision of Walt Disney World. That's the first thing I saw from the backseat of my mom and dad's car in 1971. To me, I tell John all the time, it doesn't matter how many times I do it. That's still... makes my breath catch a little bit.
Well, there are, especially that area right there when you come in, it's like a movie. It's majestic. There's something about you, if the car moves just right when the monorail's coming just right. The other day I was coming up out of that, and it was like the monorail moves. It has this like weird part of the track that kind of moves back and forth all of a sudden right there. And if you catch it at just the right time, it looks like you're watching something
like you're watching
unreal.
Disney on TV, and well, you see the movie.
The other part of it was I was 11 in 1971. So I think an 11-year-old in 1971 is different than what an 11-year-old in 2017 has seen. The first time I saw that, it was like I had gone to another planet. So
Tomorrowland.
Awesome. I like Fort Wilderness. Have you been there when they used to have the tree that grew up through the real lawnmower?
It's gone,
no,
isn't
I didn't
it?
Know that.
Yeah,
oh,
no. It's
gone. That made me mad.
Yeah, the tree.
Yeah, see, I love little things like that. Like, I love the Hoop-Dee-Doo show. That's the thing. Every time my family comes or somebody comes for the first time, that's when I'm like, we've got to go do this show.
They
it's something that I wouldn't normally
head.
Enjoy, but I love it. Like, I like the food. I like that you can have a drink with friends. I like that there's this show that's it seems so stupid, corny, on paper, but yeah, then you watch it and you just, you're like into it.
You know, that was one of the shows that, you know, when we're talking about overrated, I always thought it was overrated. Like, how good could this show be? Yeah. And it wasn't till like maybe 2 years ago that I finally went and I went, now that's a classic. Now I would really be sad if that show went away.
Yeah. All right. So let's end up with Craig. Craig, you answer the question. You're going to be our final word on the subject. What you say is going to be the law.
Oh, Lord.
I think everyone knows my answer, that knows me personally, and that is Country Bear Jamboree. I am the number one advocate of that attraction. I think it is the funniest thing that mm-hmm. Disney has ever put together. I think it still has all of that. It has that charm that Walt wanted to instill in his Imagineers and Mark Davis and all of the nine old men with what they would do with movies and then move that into the theme parks. I feel like it just kind of took all those lessons that they learned throughout the years and puts it in this silly, entertaining show that still showcases what Disney used to be more or less about. And the surprising thing is, like, too, it is...
It's risque.
Yeah, no, it's risque. That. It's slightly raunchy. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that because they focus too much on, oh, it's a bunch of... It's bears singing and it sounds bad. And
it's sort of an older generation audio animatronic, so it's not as slick as some of the new stuff.
But usually then, you know, as soon as the three bears come out and singing, all the guys that turn me on, turn me down.
I was just going to say, all the guys that turn me on, turn me down.
Then that's when it changes and it's like, okay, and tears will be the chaser for my wine. And then by the time you get to Blood on the Saddle with Big Al, everyone's just in stitches. It's so perfect. Mama, don't whoop, little bird. No, I think it is the perfect thing right now.
And don't you know the word to every song?
I basically do.
The only time I see him get excited when he sees characters is when they're country, but we'll be in the park and he'll scream, "It's Big Al!" We'll start after them.
He's turns running into Ethel Merman, apparently.
Running like Phoebe through the park.
All right. Thank you guys very much for that conversation. I appreciate it. That'll do it for our show. We're going to end it on that note. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in and watching us this week. Take care. Stop watching and get back to work.
Go home now.